It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I guess we're not going to hear from the third wheel.
No, she's just here for compliance.
Adam's sister, Annie, is here. They're headed off to parts unknown after the show. So she's in. We're going to try to convince her to talk, but she swears up and down she's not going to do it. We'll see. Maybe I can get her mother to put some pressure on or something like that. You never know. Anyway, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you're a longtime listener, we appreciate it. You are always the reason we are up in here every week. And if you're new, whether you discovered us by accident or if somebody, some kind person turned you on to the show, then try to stick around for the whole hour. We'll promise you you'll learn something. It always happens, whether or not we actually try. Just because, you know, who can talk about a topic that affects more people than money? I can't think of any.
Oh, maybe health.
Yeah. And we will say to all that we will talk about what we want to talk about, unless you want to talk about something else, and then you are in control. Lines are open. You can dial 904-222-8255. You'll be put to the head of the class, and we will discuss whatever it is that you want to discuss. Also, remember, there are no dumb questions, because there are lots of people who don't know all the same things you don't know, and if we don't think to talk about them, then everybody will still not know them in an hour.
No, I'm just confused.
What's that? Anyway, I've got a lot on our plates today, as always. It's just, there's so much going on. There's so much to talk about, so many repercussions, and if you are hanging on from the real estate show, Howard and Angela were talking about some things that are kind of the same goings on as here, in that it affects everybody. What happens nationwide, and sometimes specifically interest rates, and where's the trend in that? On and on and on. So we will cover as much as we can at this point. Unfortunately, it's very difficult right now to discuss finance without being a little bit political, and we try to skirt around it as best possible, but this place is being run into the ground. There is no other way to put it. We are sinking like the Titanic, and we want to know what we can do to make sure that people navigate through it, because believe it or not, it's not the end of the world.
So I understand what you're saying, but I do not want to paint a doom and gloom picture right now, because that is not how I feel about the economy or the market. There are some real problems that we're facing, but the overall picture remains pretty good. I mean, Americans have a lot of money, and they are outspending it.
This is the time that you should be the most appreciative that we have a 70% consumer-driven economy.
Yes, for sure.
We can pretty much overcome all the stupidity that is rampant in society.
And a lot of these problems that we're seeing, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but a lot of these problems are being driven by crazy levels of demand right now for goods, mainly goods, not so, and somewhat services, but really on goods. You're seeing the pictures of the ships off of California. That's because there's record amounts of ships coming from are partially due to record amounts of ships coming from China, which is it's good news and bad news, right? Which is so true with all of these problems like inflation and the other things we're seeing in the economy right now.
Why is having a little inflation a good thing?
Well, it's actually a really good thing.
It
you
is.
Want to have a certain level of inflation. If you don't have that level of inflation, it's a really bad thing. And the reason is that a little bit of inflation passed on to the consumer allows companies to make more money, and then they can take those evil profits and reinvest them in their own company and grow and provide more goods and services, hire more people. It's a butterfly effect that ripples through the economy. So that inflation can be very, very healthy for the economy.
And it works on the supply and the demand side, because consumers who find themselves in an inflationary environment will hurry up their purchases that they were planning to make. Well, now we have inflation and shortages, so you're going to see Christmas shopping starting, a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's already started for sure. And the you're seeing it in the housing market as well. Oh, mm-hmm. man, if I don't buy that, I'll never be able to afford it. That kind of attitude can drive purchases sooner than expected. And I think you're seeing that with millennials right now in particular, who have never been involved in the housing market prior to this, now are rushing out to buy homes in record numbers.
Yep. So therefore, while there are a lot of things wrong, and we will definitely discuss some of those topics because taxation, things like that can hurt it.
Definitely.
But we are very bullish on the economy and the market, at least through the end of this year. And I'm getting more bullish all the time when I read some of the things that are going on, because there's a really good chance that no big hairy tax increase is going to pass.
Yeah, so that's the big unknown right now. And so there's so much around that potential bill that is not been decided. And will it pass at all is the big question.
Well, they're promising October 31st vote. I, for one, would not bet a nickel that will happen.
I don't buy that either. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think they're anywhere near cutting a deal on that bill. So I don't know. But I just attended a seminar this week about tax planning for the end of the year. And basically it was, okay, here's what the original bill was. I've had to scrap that presentation because I don't mm-hmm. think any of this is going to happen. And here's what I think is actually going to happen. But it may change again.
Right. But if you're thinking of accelerating income going into the last couple months of this year, I might sit back on that a little bit right now.
Well, and the funny thing is the presenter asked the room full of CFPs, how many of you have sold some assets in advance of the new tax bill, because the capital mm-hmm. gains rates are threatening to go up. And there was maybe half the room had raised their hands. And I kind of thought that was a terrible idea, because I don't think you make those moves based on what might happen.
No.
And besides, they want to make them retroactive to April or so, sometime around then. So
you're talking about shooting yourself in the foot. Huh?
Exactly. I don't, what does it matter if you wait until the end of the year then to make that move? I don't know. I thought that was a surprising answer.
Besides, there's nothing right now on October 23rd that can't be done in December.
Right. I agree.
Markets are open. Yeah, I'm with you. I keep thinking about it, and I keep just slapping myself in the face saying, not yet, not yet.
Right.
But one thing, we're probably going to run into the next segment to really get into the market wrap, but one thing I should note is that this week saw a great anniversary. You got to be careful how you use the word great. But October 19th came and went without a whisper.
Yeah, I don't know about great.
For those of you who are of a certain age, mine, you will remember October 19th of 1987 very fondly. No, that's probably not the right word.
Happy to that it's in the rearview mirror, maybe?
Yeah, but the S&P lost something like 23% in a day and was preceded by a bad day and succeeded by a bad day, which in the long run really has made about zero difference in the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because study after study has been done. If you got in the day before or the day after and it's 34 years later, who cares?
It was about 0.5% in annual return difference.
And that is having the worst timing luck of anybody could possibly have. So again, we say get in, stay in, just keep an eye on it how you want to be in, and we'll get into all the details in a few seconds when we come back. So we'll pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Annie's still not talking. But she is laughing. So we're getting to her little by little. All right. We've been kind of loquacious here. We haven't really gotten down to the market wrap yet. But first, brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888 is today's trivia question. And it has to do with the bull market. And the reason I brought it up today is because this week we saw a new record with the S&P 500 and a new record with the Dow Jones. And NASDAQ will probably catch up pretty soon, which means not only does the bull market rage, but it just keeps accelerating. It is more fun than a human being has a right to have when you watch these things go on. So it has been now This will surprise some people, given the fact that we've had the two most interesting years. But the current bull market is actually 577 days long. And that means we haven't had it during COVID, which seems funny, but we had corrections, but we didn't have bull markets. Bear markets. Some individual stocks went into bear territory, but the market has not. So that seems pretty long, but what number of days is the average bull market post-World War II? Is it more, less, lots more, lots less? Just coming up with a number here, folks, and I've got a little range, so there's a little room for error in it. But again, it has a point, because the point is, where are we now compared to where were we in history? And I think you'll be surprised. If I ever get a trivia question that doesn't surprise anybody, I will consider it a lost morning.
I think you're safe with this one.
I think
I was pretty surprised when I read it.
That's the kind of thing we always look for. It jumps out. All right, this week in the market, we had some big numbers.
We did. Unfortunately, there was a bit of weakness on Thursday and Friday, and it sort of put a damper on what had been a really good week in the market.
Didn't feel like one of those mornings when you reconcile the numbers and you're surprised.
I knew the week was up, but I was surprised that it was up as much as it was, just because of Thursday and Friday. Just felt kind of bad, I guess.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that bad. We ended the week up over 1% on all three indexes. The Dow was up 1.1, the NASDAQ 1.3, and the S&P up 1.6. And we saw some new all-time highs. So if we could just get the NASDAQ to cooperate and get a full turnaround, we'd be in really good shape.
It'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I don't know when. But usually when the other two are doing as well as they are and broke out to new highs, that the other one isn't too far to follow.
No. And the problem, of course, with some of the weightings on some of the indexes are that some company can have a bad year and it just knocks the index out for a while.
Yeah, and right now Facebook is not having a great time, and that could be part of the problem.
How bad is it? It's so bad.
They're changing their name.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Adam and Stephen. Gurus Financial of not only Northeast Florida, but global, and thank you for all the good you do. Yesterday was my 81st birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Good for you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I cannot retro to pre-depression era, but I'm going to take a shot. We're, what, 567 now? So I'm going to say 365, because I think they spiraled it for a year, but I'm just taking it off the ballpark guess.
Well, that's a very interesting guess, and it is too low.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, surprise, huh?
I rest my case, and happy Saturday. And the lady who answered the phone, give us a 30% raise of her weekly gross. And I'm going to tell you about the lady that doesn't want to talk. My sister lives in Northeast Florida. She's older than I. She is a concert pianist, retired. Nobody knows that. Huh. Not only does she not talk, she doesn't play the piano anymore, and she has three of them at home.
That's a shame.
So it's a woman thing, and I don't think we'll ever get to figure it out, Adam and Stephen, but you're the future, I'm the past. Go team, okay?
Thanks so much. Enjoy this beautiful weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We have a bracket. It's above 365. Good morning, Don.
Hey.
Yeah, good morning.
I want to ask you a question.
Of course. Go ahead.
Tell me what's wrong with fracking of oil. Do you know what fracking oil means?
Of course. There's nothing wrong with it. The only thing wrong with it is that the liberals don't like it. Other than that, fine.
Do you have any idea how many holes they dug? They didn't get no oil out of the ground from them holes. They cost a lot of money.
Yep.
You know what you got to do to frack oil?
Yep.
Just pour a little water, because oil always floats to the top.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you suck drill it sideways. Out of the ground, you got it.
Yep. Drill so sideways and pump it in.
Tell me what's wrong with this president of ours.
How much time you got?
That is a discussion for another day.
Yes. You can hear all about that on the weekday shows. But you're absolutely right.
All right, buddy. Y'all have a good day.
You be good, Don. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I think Don's unhappy because he probably just stopped at a gas station.
You see, at least it wasn't California.
Yeah. Oh gosh, there was one town that went over $7.
$7.57. Wow. And premium was a mere $8.50.
Wow.
Now, in my humble opinion, and I don't know how good this is, but I think they're trying to make a point.
What is that point?
That gas is too expensive.
Oh, that might be.
Which I guess they made in spades, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I felt it. I actually texted my sister a picture of, I filled up this week, it was $85.
Yeah.
And my wife filled up, and she has to use premium in her car. It was $92.
Well, you know, it's from a year ago, you just stick the thing in and put it on automatic, and you pull out a $20 bill and burn it while you're waiting.
See which disappears faster?
Yeah, exactly. It's bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
It's crazy. Anyways, enough about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so earnings are rolling in for the third quarter, It's still pretty early, but so far looking really strong. The beat rates are not quite as high as they were in the record-setting second quarter, but they are still historically quite high. And the earnings beat rate is sitting at 87%, revenue beat rate at 74%. And the other positive sign is that companies are still raising their forward guidance much more than they are lowering, which gives us a positive outlook going forward. So despite all the problems, supply chain and issues that you're hearing about, companies are still raising their next year's guidance. So that's really, really good to see. I was a little worried that would be the one downer on this earnings season, but so far not the case.
Yeah, doing fine so far.
Yep. And speaking of the supply chain, if you're worried about it, you should be a little bit. Almost every company that reports right now is mentioning the two issues, which are labor shortages and supply chain concerns. So it's definitely a real issue. The good news is that it's so widely known at this point that it's probably already priced into the market. So if you're worried about it crashing the stock market, it's highly unlikely that those two issues will bring down the market, because you can't talk to anyone who hasn't heard about these issues that the economy is facing right now. So that I think that's if you're super concerned about that one thing, I think that you can probably put that concern to rest.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Now, the other major concern that we talked about earlier is inflation. And that one's, it's a bit trickier because, as we mentioned,
I can fix it overnight.
How would you do that?
With a pen and a phone. I'd start building the pipeline. Unload all the leases, because the whole thing starts with the most fundamental thing, energy production.
It is, because it really drives everything across the country. And when that's more expensive, everything is more expensive. But
yeah, plus we're sending money, buying things from countries that don't even like us, where we could be sending people big paychecks in America.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I would fix it.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, inflation is a double-edged sword. A little bit is good, a lot is really bad. And the right now, we're still in that good territory, but.
Good morning, Ron.
Oh, good morning. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Not at all. This is our goal, is to get as many people to call in, and making them wait for a long time doesn't accomplish that very well.
Oh, not at all. Hey, I was going to try to answer your trivia question.
Sure.
I have a trivia question for you.
Sure.
When's the last time the Jaguars went 2 weeks without losing a game?
Probably in the 90s. we were on a roll there in the 90s.
I mean, they won last week. They and got the bye week.
Yep.
Boy, things couldn't be better. Huh?
That, I got a off money topic, maybe just a little bit, but that was one of the best football games I have ever witnessed.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. But I'm a little worried that maybe next Sunday might not be as fun to watch.
What's that one?
At Seattle, so we'll see.
Yeah, no. They're not invincible.
Too bad they couldn't keep Miami in town for a few more weeks.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Yeah, I was going to say about 975 days.
975. That's a great guess. It's too low.
Wow.
That's what we said.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Like I said, I was surprised when I saw this number.
Yep.
Wow.
But see, we're getting the point made now, and we like that. So thank you. I appreciate the call.
Okay, guys. Great show as always. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 975, and it's still too low.
Yep.
That's something.
Yeah.
All right, well, after the break, go ahead.
My point was simply that the rampant inflation is has the opposite effect. It actually takes demand and drives it lower. So that would not be stimulative to the economy. And that's the danger that we're facing right now, is that if this inflation keeps up like it is at the 4 or 5% level, we're going to get into some trouble.
Yeah, the problem with a lot of today's quote economists is that they do not factor in human behavior, probably because they don't know much about it, probably because they've been hanging out with each other for too long. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back shortly. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And trivia question is still out there. The current bull market is 577 days long. What's the average bull market length since World War II? And we know that 975 is too low. All right, wrapping up, a couple things. One thing I wanted to mention, one of the unknowns right now is still the Fed. And, you know, the Fed is always in play on the market. Jerome Powell's reign is over in February of next year.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. There's one school of thought that says he'll be out, and there's the other school of thought that says he's going to be a good enough butt kisser that he's going to get his job back.
I don't have a bet yet.
I don't either.
I could really go either way.
But nothing really weird will come out of the Fed before February.
Oh, no. That is true.
You know, he wants that job, and he wants it badly. So just another reason that we're very optimistic about the rest of this year. And I also mentioned earlier that this was the 34th anniversary of the October 19th debacle. And I thought I'd share a few stats for you, because it's kind of interesting since we had something that felt very much like that go on last year. Mm-hmm. Of the 10 largest point drops in history, 4 of them have been in October, although it's not the worst month in the market. 2 have been in September, 2 in August, 1 in December, and a whopping 1 in April. So for the entire first half of the calendar year, only one of the top drops has been in the first half
now
of the year.
Now, that's in terms of points, right?
That's
so,
points.
So as we get higher on the indexes, those
could
mean less and less. So that's really a percentage would be a more accurate indicator.
Well, it's funny you should ask.
I figured that was next.
The largest percentage drop was, guess what? October 19th, 1987.
There you go.
Black Monday, it's referred to. It was minus 22.61%. The largest percentage gain, what year do you think that might have happened?
The largest percentage gain?
Yeah. And you won't get this.
2009.
You're off a little bit. It was 1933.
Oh, that was my other guess.
Should have given you two strikes.
Yeah.
315.33, the index was up 15.34%. Not bad. March 2020, that's called COVID March, where we come from, saw two huge losses and two huge gains. On the 12th, it lost 9.99%. On the 13th, it gained back 7.73%. On the 19th, it dropped 7.79%. And on the 24th, it gained back 11.4, just about. And strangely enough, it still wound up losing 13.7%. So it closed March at 21,900, and it regained its high before COVID by May 27th, or 58 days it took to recover that whole thing, which is not bad.
One of the shortest recessions in history.
Yep. 30,000 Dow came on November 4th, 2020, a mere 6 months from the initial recovery day, and the year ended over $30,000 or 30,000 points, despite what happened in March.
Crazy.
I thought it was interesting because it felt so bad, but it was really so brief. And the good news from an advisory standpoint, we saw this happen. We didn't see it coming, of course, nobody could, but we saw it happen. And when it happened, it was happening so fast that we go back to the theory that says don't try to catch a falling knife. So rather than fret about it or get in there, scramble, and try to make some situations different, we decided to stay the course and see what happened, and we did, and everybody, including us, was amply rewarded for it. So just an interesting little look back. I remember October 19th, 87, like it was yesterday, I was on the golf course, and I missed the whole thing. Glad I wasn't in this business.
Yeah, no kidding. Although March of last year was a trying time, and it wasn't not my favorite time I've ever been in the market.
All right, lines are open, 904-222-8255, and Adam has another in the continuing series of people who made it in America. I think there's just about the right amount of time in this segment.
Yeah.
You can cover that.
Yeah, so this segment is about realizing the American dream, and there's some luck involved, but mostly what you'll find is that it just took a great idea and more importantly, an incredible work ethic. None of these people seem to sleep. They always say yes to opportunities, and it's just real inspiring stories when you start to dig into
some of
these.
Seems like a theme underlying all this, doesn't there?
Definitely. So this woman was not born poor, but rather into a financially successful household in New York. She's the only daughter of a renowned figure in the horse training world, but things turned abusive for her when she was just 4 years old, which caused her and her mother to flee that situation. Soon after, financial support stopped coming, causing the pair to be poor for a period of time. Her mother then remarried a year later to a guy who turned out to be worse than her biological father. Her mother eventually turned to drugs and alcohol to fight depression, leading to a chaotic early life. So not the best upbringing, unfortunately. She moved multiple times, eventually graduating from the Pinecrest School in Fort Lauderdale and moving to Los Angeles to become an actress in the early 1990s. Like so many young people chasing that same dream in L.A., life was tough. Gigs were hard to come by, so she took other jobs to make ends meet. She worked as a nanny, a personal assistant, and a production assistant. Eventually, she landed a job as the personal assistant to Jerry Bruckheimer, which paid a decent wage and allowed her to make some important connections in Hollywood.
To be continued. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Sorry for the interruption.
Not at all. Your callers are always first. First rule.
Okay. I'll take a stab at the trivia.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with 5 years, 2 months, or approximately with 30 days in a month. I'm going to say about 1,860 days, 5 years, 2 months.
That's a pretty good guess, but it is too high.
Okay.
But we appreciate it because now we got a bracket.
Very good. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate
Certainly
the call.
Enjoy the show. Have a great weekend, and go Dodgers.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm not a baseball fan, but if he likes them, go Dodgers.
What's sure. That? Why not? So the entrepreneurial spirit was always strong in this young woman, so she started a catering business in the late 1990s, which failed miserably. She then tried selling scarves, a venture that never got off the ground. With those failures under her belt, she went back to school to become a gourmet chef and started a healthy baked goods company in New York City. Unfortunately, this too failed, causing her debts to start piling up.
What was she thinking, trying to do a healthy food business?
When one door closes, though, as they say, another opens, and her baking experience landed her a gig on the TV show The Apprentice, Martha Stewart, where she became one of the two finalists. With her name finally starting to get known, she landed a gig on The Real Housewives of New York City, which aired in 2008. She quickly became the favorite character on the show for the audience. The success led to her own show, which documented her journey of getting engaged and eventually married. The show was a hit, and so was her career. During that time, she didn't lose the entrepreneurial spirit and began working on a line of healthy cocktails. In 2009, she launched the Skinny Girl cocktails brand with a low-calorie margarita. She sold that line to a national brand in 2011 for $120 million.
Well, not bad.
No, not bad. While achieving personal success, she also enjoys giving back. In 2017, her Be Strong disaster relief organization raised $300,000 for victims of Hurricane Harvey. She also raised $150,000 for victims of the Puebla earthquake in Mexico City. More recently, Be Strong has been raising funds and delivering PPE equipment around the U.S. during the beginning of the COVID pandemic. A rough childhood and a string of failures early in her career could easily have put this millionaire on a path to failure, but Bethany Frankel didn't let that happen. Instead, she used her passions for acting, cooking, and entrepreneurship to create a nine-figure business and a very successful career, not to mention a net worth of over $70 million.
I could live on it.
Yeah.
Not
to get by.
Yeah. There's another theme in all of these things, too. It seems like the ones, at least the ones you're picking out, are very generous people also.
It's not that I'm picking them out. I think coming
just
from that beginning,
yeah,
and getting that to appreciate that level of success drives that.
You are probably right in the ballpark. Okay, we got some other goodies, but the music is playing, so we're going to have to pay some more bills before we get back. But I'm going to ask you the big question right after the break. Are you better off? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
You can say hi yet, Annie?
Hello.
There. I don't know if you could hear that, but they are about to take a road trip, so Annie's in. Adam has our public service announcement that we've been covering and will until the event happens, and it's about?
It's about a 5K race to raise money for pediatric cancer. For those of you that don't know, one of our close family friends lost a child to pediatric cancer, and we have been involved with their foundation to raise money. The goal of the foundation is to make sure that they have enough money to cure this cancer, and no family will ever have to go through this again. It's a great cause. I highly, highly recommend that you come out on Saturday, November 27th. It's in Nocatee. It's right there in the town center area, and it's only $35 to register. And you can go online to joestrong.org. That's just Joe, J-O-E, strong.org, and sign up, and we'd love to see you out there. So I hope you can make it.
Very good. You in charge of weather?
That time of year, I feel pretty good. It should be. It's usually a really good. It's the same day as the Florida State game, and
so
you can actually pre-burn off the calories that you may drink.
There you
later.
Go. So, love it.
Yeah, it's a good plan.
All right. Are you better off? Breitbart did a survey here this past week, global survey, and it was actually released by the Milken Institute. Only 32% of Americans say that their personal financial situation is improving right now.
Hmm.
That is not a number that you want to see in your economy.
No, and the consumer sentiment has been way down recently as well.
Yeah, it's
That's
plummeting.
Not a great sign.
Yeah, plummeting. I blame Brandon. This figure is far worse elsewhere, however. In Canada, only 23% say things are improving. And Mr. Trudeau ought to be reading that.
Well, then why did they reelect him? That's my question.
Well, because they're just as dumb as Americans.
Mm.
That's my guess. Only 20% in the UK say they're improving, 9% in Italy, and a pathetic 4% in Japan.
Wow, that's bad.
That is bad. However, there is a shining star. 55% of Chinese say they're getting better off. And I'm sure not all of them have a gun to their head, but I'd say most of them probably do. Just a guess.
Yeah, but none of them have ever had COVID either. So
that's correct.
That. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's part of the reason that they're so optimistic.
Maybe so.
Uh-huh. Quick headline from this week, from yesterday, actually. The administration is tooting its own horn because the 2021 fiscal year deficit was below last year's deficit. Now, does it matter that last year included the COVID and the massive spending that followed it?
Yeah.
No, because 2 years ago, last year, it was Trump, and this year it was Biden. So it's a magnificent recovery, isn't it?
It's amazing, so truly.
Next time you pay your taxes, just be very thankful that they're actually doing some good. What was your other thing?
Yeah, another topic that it's been on everyone's mind this year is housing. And I heard Angela and Howard talking about this. And what Howard said actually agreed almost 100% with what I was going to say today. But if you haven't noticed, house prices have been soaring over the past 18 months. And it's really starting to dismay potential buyers but it's making existing homeowners very, very happy. So it's always one of those catch-22 situations with the housing prices. One of the most common questions we hear these days is whether or not the housing market will crash. And we've been really consistent on this, and we don't think that it will crash. And so far, we've been right. The fundamentals are really strong around housing right now. It is more expensive than it was, but there's still high demand for housing. I mean, who knew that a global pandemic would be what it took to get millennials out of their parents' basement? But they are...
Everybody missed that.
Over 50% of new mortgages being issued today are to millennials.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Good morning, Bosco.
Good morning, y'all.
How you doing?
Beautiful weather out here. Once you get out there, you can take a stroll. This is weather that makes Florida, you know?
Yep. I did that this morning, Bosco. It was great.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll be out in 10 minutes doing the same thing.
Excellent. Now, our question here, I know this Chinese bubble, real estate bubble, should not affect us at all. However, with the monies that the Chinese invest, they have what these things that you can see from satellites, these what they call ghost communities,
right.
And my understanding is that these are essentially investment vehicles for their economy. But with the other investment, I mean, the other real estate, I assume, is their primary. And so with this bubble coming up, they're going to channel monies, their investment monies, internationally. Do you think that is going to have an effect on our investment, economy for investors,
A negative effect or an effect?
I don't know. I want to pull that, extrapolate that out of y'all, and because y'all watch it more than I do, and you got your finger, your foot in the water, of investment that, there'd be more money coming into the international and, of course, into the United States investment community,
I think it can be turned into, if it isn't automatic, a net positive. Because right now, we import like crazy from China, and we send them American dollars to pay for the imports.
Right.
They come over here and buy everything from the Rockefeller Plaza to wherever else. And I don't like watching my skyline become Chinese. And I think if this whole mess, including over there and the supply line and all of that, I think is going to begin turning around again, bringing more things back onshore. The shortages are starting to just wake people up to the fact that we don't make things that we need anymore. So what Trump got started and they backed up, I think this is going to continue again.
So when you say on shore, you mean on our shore?
Yes, absolutely. It's the same thing with energy. We send hundreds of millions of dollars to countries that don't like us, so then they come back and buy us. Both of these things are wrong. And they need to be changed. No. Trump had it going.
100%. I agree 100% on that,
If we're smart, and that's a big if, it could be a real positive, in my opinion.
Good to go. You had to get that in.
Yep.
I'm going to let you go now so I can get the last snippets of your fabulous program.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bosco.
You were saying?
Yeah, so I was saying that what it took to get millennials out of their parents' basement was a global pandemic, and it's really, really done it.
Yeah.
More than 50% of new mortgages are going to millennials now, and I suspected we would never see that, but now we're seeing it.
Well, they're growing up a little by hook or by crook, I guess.
Yeah, and then so that just leads me to September's numbers. It's not usually a month that sees big gains in existing home sales. But this September saw a 7% increase in sales, and it was the largest monthly gain in a year.
Oh.
And the right now, inventories are at just 1.27 million homes nationwide, which sounds like a lot of homes, over a million, but it's not. It actually represents just 2.4 months of sales, which that would wipe out the entire inventory. Which that number around 6 would be a balanced market between buyers and sellers. But right now that indicates it's really a seller's market. Mm-hmm. And demand has driven the median price of a home up 13.3% in the past year, which has started to decelerate. The increases have started to slow down recently.
Howard did an actually an excellent presentation on this morning.
That's what I heard it, and I had written up all this, and I was like, Howard just basically said everything I was going to say.
Well, the two questions that are on people's minds, the two bubble questions, is the stock market a bubble?
Right.
Is the housing market a bubble? And I, for right now, am sticking with no and no. Mm-hmm. This sounds like Biden, doesn't it?
Well, the thing about bubbles is almost no one ever predicts them accurately. They do in hindsight, but they don't prior to it happening.
Yeah, Monday morning quarterbacking is a lot better than the so-called experts that generally get everything wrong. The average bull market for post-World War II is 1,709 days, which I didn't translate into years, but it's a long time. We are a mere 577 days into that, and it tells me that unless something very unusual happens, we probably have a nice little run left.
It's very possible.
I'm looking for a very nice way to finish this year and go into next year. We just got to get some of the stupidity cleared up, and I don't know how that's going to happen or when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. But stay optimistic. Keep listening to the show, and we'll see you all next week at the same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.